set the tone to get started off for a worship service this morning, isn't it? Just fight on. Before I get into the scripture today, I want to say thank you to this church. We had Luther's funeral and dinner Monday, and I never saw it like it looked like a banquet down there. Everybody supplied and brought food and helped out with the dinner and all parts of the service. I appreciate it. You know, it makes you walk around and want to say, I'm proud to be pastor. I don't know if everybody can say that or not, but I do. You know, I'm proud of the church and the effort y'all put forward. It looked like, I'm telling you, just looked like a banquet down there. And the family was well pleased and well taken care of and in all parts of the service, you know. So, and thank you for showing up for the funeral service. I know the family truly appreciated it. Wanda left here after the dinner Monday, after the funeral, and went straight to the hospital and stayed till Thursday. And they got the fluid off of her and sent her back home. She came home Friday. And I was over there when she got back because I knew that's going to be her first time back in the house after her husband, a husband of 65 years had passed away. So I was over there to meet her, but she didn't even let on. She just went right on back in there and started fussing about no salt and going to make this and had to make pear preserves and all these things, just normal Wanda stuff, you know. She looks bad. Continue praying for her and all of her sick folks in the church. Good to see everybody here this morning. I've got something I want to share with you this morning. I believe it's a direction God led me in. And that's always a good thing, because sometimes when I walk up here across this parking lot, I'll have four or five different things on mind, you know, and don't know where I'm going to start and where I'm going to preach. But I think I've got what you need today. Might not be what you want, you know, always, but when you get right into the Word of God, it's not always what people want, but it's usually what they need. So, you know, I've prayed about this. So let's look at the Word of God just for a few minutes this morning. And I appreciate the singing and the music we've had this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody come out. Got some friends here with me today I'm excited about. St. John chapter 4. And I'll just go through some of this pretty quick. But St. John chapter 4. Y'all can turn there with me. We'll use a few verses of scripture in it. St. John chapter 4. When you start reading through this, you'll find that Jesus left and he was headed through Samaria. And on his way through, he stopped by Jacob's well. Now, you know, it said he sat on the well. He was wearied from the travel and the day. And a woman from Samaria came down and asked Jesus asked her for a drink. Well, this was kind of an odd thing. She said, well, usually, you know, y'all Jews don't have anything to do with us Samaritans, but he asked her for a drink. And she provided and gave him the drink. Then down in verse 10, I want you to look at this. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And so I got to thinking about this living water, you know. And I got excited about last night thinking everybody that walked into this house today, if you're a child of God, if you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're filled up with living water. You know what? You've had that drink of living water. There's something alive inside of you today. You know, I don't see how anybody could have a dead church if you got a few Christians in it, because they're alive, filled with living water. And so when we start today on our worship and praise service, I want you to know there's something bubbling up in you, inside of you, that'll never go away. Living water, filled up with it. Praise the Lord. You know, it's good to say, I've got that drink of living water from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, ask and I would have given it. I asked one day, I got it. Let's look a little bit farther in this. St. John chapter 4 and verse 19. Then the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. That's an understatement, isn't it? But she didn't know who Jesus was. She didn't recognize him as the Son of God. She didn't know he was going to be the Savior of the whole world. But she did recognize him as a prophet. I mean, Jesus stands out. You can't deny it. But I got thinking about this, and I'll handle it a little bit later on, about Jesus testifying of himself and proves himself. But she said, I perceive thou art a prophet. And she said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Now, this time's going to come. And it said, ye worship, you know not what, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And he told her, says, you don't know what you're worshiping. You know, there's a lot of that going on today. I see people worship a lot of things. They don't even know what they worship. They worship anything but a living and true God. They worship anything but a Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They worship so many things, I don't even think they know what they worship. And Jesus told her, said, you know not what you worship. He said, but we know what we worship. And I hope everybody here is in that position today. You can say, I know what I worship. I know what I pray. It's an almighty God fit to be praised. Now let's get into mood. Boy, we've had some good music and good singing. Hadn't we? That ought to got everybody in the spirit and in the truth. That's the way we have to worship. And if not, you start now. And if you'll ask, you'll get it. God will put you in the spirit. It goes, Father, it said in verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so it just gives us two ways to worship God. That's in spirit and in truth. And if you're not in one of those two ways, you're probably not going to truly worship here today. That's why we insist, or that's why we pray for the Spirit of God to be anointing on the church, that he just baptize us in the Holy Ghost, that we get in the Spirit of God, that we might truly worship and praise him for what he's done. And like I said, if the music, if the singing hadn't got you in the spirit yet, pray and ask for it. Get in the spirit so we can truly worship God. Spirit and truth. Isaiah, I'm going to preach this or give out one. Just whatever comes first. Lord, have it your way. Isaiah chapter 61. Turn over there with me if you will. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And then verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And so verse 1, I'm going to tell you, that's dealing with the season of grace. That's where we're at today. It talked about nothing but good things. You know, anointing me to preach good tidings unto me, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, open the prison to those that are bound. And now we're talking about the season of grace. That's where we're at today. We're in the season of grace. And thank God for it. I mean, through that, we can have the promise and hope of the salvation through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not of our works, not what we do, but what we believe. What we believe. Now, verse 2 changes seasons, folks. That season hadn't come yet when it talks about to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. I want to tell you that day will come. We're not in it yet. We're in grace. We're in that season. But that season of vengeance will come. I'm talking about, if you'll read over the book of Revelation, you read about the vials poured out of the wrath of God poured out on an ungodly earth. And that season is on its way. We're not in it yet. Thank God we're not. We're still in grace. We've got that season. But the season will come when he will pour out his wrath on this earth. I don't preach it a lot. I don't worry about it much. I'm going to be in heaven looking down on it. Oh, by the way, what's it going to matter to me? Other than I'll have some kin folks and loved ones down here to face it. We're talking about the wrath of God going to be poured out. You know, I got thinking about last night. I don't think it really matters whether you believe because of the love and the grace of God, or whether you believe because of the wrath of God that's going to come. I don't think it matters why you believe, but it does matter that you do believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that's all that'll spare you from that wrath to come. Don't hang out here. It's going to be a bad thing. It said there'll never be before like it or after like it. Going to be a bad place. Don't hang out here for that now. Need to be on your way out. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Turn there with me. Y'all get some practice. Turn your Bibles today. 2 Peter chapter 2. Here comes a warning. A lot of things going on in this earth, in this world today. A lot of people saying a lot of different things. There's one truth, and that's the Word of God. That's it. One truth, nothing else. And so here we go in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. It said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So the warning comes. It said they were false prophets. It said there are going to be false teachers to come. It's not going to pass away. This is something we're going to have to be here and face. We're going to go through that part. Amen. We're going to be here for that. In verse 2, and it said, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The way of truth, evil spoken of. Anybody think that's maybe the world we're in today, when people talk evil of the truth? They speak evil of good. I'm telling you, we're in a world that's turned upside down, where they think good is bad and bad is good. You know, that's where we're at today. That's what the people are saying. And he's giving us warning of these things to come. You can know by the Spirit of God revealing to you through the preached word, through the taught word, through the read word, that you can understand what's to come. In verse 4, it said, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered into chains of darkness to be resolved into judgment, and spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah unto ashes, to condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example for those that after should live godly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punishment. So we go back to that next season that's coming. I mean, this season of grace, we're in it. But there, you know how the seasons go. One leaves and another one comes in. Seasons change. The season's going to change one day, and the wrath of God's going to be poured out on the ungodliness of this world. And praise God, whether you believe because of that or you believe because of love and the grace of God, it don't matter, but you better be a believer. Deliver the godly out of temptation. Regardless of what people say, the devil didn't make you do it. Because he don't have that power. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. We've got a power to overcome what the devil don't make you do it. He might make you want to do it. He might encourage you to do it, but he don't make you do it if you're a child of God. He's got no power over you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You got a power inside of you. You got that living water bubbling up inside. There's something living in you. Chapter 3, verse 1, 2 Peter. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. I love what this scripture said. He said, I'm writing it to stir you up. You know, I like a little stir in the church, don't y'all? Don't y'all like it when you see a hand go up every now and then? Somebody get to worshiping, praising God and can't control herself. Somebody singing their heart out that you might get in the spirit. These things done in this church a lot of time are for you specifically. And he said, I want to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. He said, remember what's taking place. In verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles and the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And there's still scoffers today saying, I don't see no evidence. I see a lot of evidence, don't y'all? I see a lot of evidence. I'm going to tell you, we're closer today than we was yesterday. You know, I used this for an example one time. We were going on a trip one time. We were going down to Gulf Shores. We lived on Sand Mountain at that time. We come out of our driveway, and I turned right, because that was south. I was headed south. I didn't see no sign that said Gulf Shores. Right? All right, I get down the foot of the mountain, Interstate 59, I turn right again, and I head south. I didn't see no sign that said Gulf Shores. You know, but I knew to go south. I knew the direction. I kept traveling south. And, you know, I went through Birmingham, and I didn't see a thing that said Gulf Shores. Not one sign. I got down nearly down to where you cut across to go to Gulf Shores, and there was a sign that said Gulf Shores. I knew which way to go. Folks, I'm seeing the signs. I'm seeing some of the signs that what's going to take place and what's going to happen in this world. Let's look over, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. Let's see what Jesus told John about himself. You know, we're talking about false prophets. They're going to proclaim themselves Jesus himself. And it tells us, don't run here, don't run there, don't go to the desert, because it's not. But when we start talking about Jesus, he'll proclaim himself. You know how you're going to know Jesus? He's one got the nail scars in his hands and feet. Praise the Lord. They'll be there. They'll be there in St. John chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? You see what John's question was? He said, are you he that shall come, or should we look for another? John wanted to be sure that he's following the right Jesus. John wanted to be sure that he had the right Son of God. John wanted to be sure that he had the right Savior. And that, you know, there's no problem with that. But I like the way Jesus handled it. And Jesus answered and said, go unto them and show John again the things which you do hear and see. He didn't say go just tell him. He said go tell him what you see and what you hear. I'm telling you, he didn't want it just to be on words alone. It wanted to be on what he had done. It said, no, verse 5, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And so Jesus testified, proved himself. He said, not just take my word, look at what I've done. He said, look at the works of God that have been performed through me on this earth. He said, John, be sure. I tell you the same thing today. Be sure that you're following the right God and the right Jesus. He said, you got to be in spirit and truth to worship. I'm praying the Spirit of God fall on this thing. Just baptize everybody here that we might truly worship. Let's talk about the wrath of God. Now, like I said, it don't matter to me if you believed it because to get out of the wrath that's still to come, or if you believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because of the love and the grace that God's shown you. Either way, it's believing. In Matthew chapter 24, you turn there with me. Matthew chapter 24, and I'll start in verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. Now they had an interest in knowing. They'd heard these things. They saw it, but they wanted to know when it's going to happen. Well, I'm not here to set a date. I don't set date and time, but I'm going to tell you it is going to happen. There's going to be the wrath of God poured out. Now, I'm going to hit just a few minor things here in Matthew. If you want the full story, you go over in Revelation and read it. It'll tell you all about it. I'm talking about this is going to be a bad place. Thank God I ain't going to be here. I got no plans to be here. I've already made my plan. It's through Jesus. In verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. You know, there's always this thought of somebody deceiving you. It said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You see somebody saying they're Christ, if he ain't got the scars in his hands and feet, you just shy away from him. No, you don't shy away, you run away. Turn and run. Because it's going to happen, and this is going to take place. It said in verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And so, how many of y'all heard of a rumor of war this week? Everybody here, right? Amen. It's telling us things that's going to happen. It said, for nation shall rise against nation. What? I'm surprised by that. You mean we don't get along real well with all the nations? It said, and the kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. That's us. Here we are. If you're hunting a sign for the end of the world coming, there it is. We've got a sign. It said, for all these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's here. That's now. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. That's one I hope you never fulfilled at New Salem Baptist Church. I hope you keep that out of it. You won't hate one another and be offended by each other. We're all in the same together, brothers and sisters in Christ. And you may not like exactly what somebody says or what somebody did, but just get over it. Get over it. If there's one thing I like in church, it's peace. You know what? I like peace. I like to walk in the church and feel the peace of God and the Spirit of God all at the same time. Just get double-shotted. Like me and my coffee and Diet Mountain Dew in the morning, I double-shot them. Get me a cold Diet Mountain Dew and a cup of hot coffee. And I'm ready to ride then pretty quick. It goes farther in verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. There's a warning. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We saw it. We're seeing it every day. People that was on fire for the Lord seem like they don't even care anymore. Amen. I'm talking about, you can think back in your life, you know, when you was on fire from the Lord, when you was excited, when you was fired up, and a lot of them people that's been here and been that way, they're not here anymore. You know why? Because the love of God has waxed cold with many. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this is the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall come, the end shall come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of the desolate spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight may not be in wither. Winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then such shall be a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world of this time, no, nor ever shall be. And so I'm talking about bad time. I'm talking about tough. I'm talking about terrible. I'm talking about the wrath of God poured out on this earth. Here's my verse in verse 22. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Amen. For the elect days, those days shall be shortened. Who's elect? Believers on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's who elected. God elected you. You believe, and so you're the elect. Warnings. You can hang out here if you want to. I've already made my plans. My plan was made to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the day I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. That day that He filled me with that living water, when they've got something in me bubbling up. It's still bubbling. It's still alive. It'll never die. It's for an eternity. And so whether you believe because of this or whether you believe because of that, whatever you believe, God's given you the faith that you can believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's given you the ability to overcome the temptations of this world that you can live a better Christian life. I'm not saying perfect. They're not imperfect here, but there's some that trying to live as good as possible because God gave us the power. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm telling you, filled up with God, there ain't much room for the devil, are there? Samantha, Shana. Y'all come sing if you would. They're going to sing a verse or two of a song. And I want to encourage anybody here that needs to come pray, altar's open. I'm sure there's somebody here to pray with you. Whether it's for salvation, or whether it's just rededication, whether it's join this church, I don't know what it is. See, I don't know your mind. God does, but God's dealing with you right now. God's speaking somebody's heart as we stand here and talk and they prepare to sing. God's touching somebody's heart already. God don't have to have music. Music's to help you, not to help God. A man talking to me the other day and about what God said, and I said, let me tell you about God. I said, if God ever says no, that's a complete sentence. Amen. Don't have to add nothing to it or take away from it. If God said no, it's a complete sentence. And so if God said no to the way you're living or your disrespect for Him, that's a complete sentence. Anybody needs to come pray, these girls are going to sing a little bit. Y'all stand up on your feet.
Looking for answers. You need a way out. You've been trapped in that trial, full of sorrow and doubt. You saw a trickle of sunlight, but you found no escape. Just hold on to His promises. He said that He'd make a way.
Oh, no.
got a little bit of good news to share with you. I'm going to claim victory in the name of Jesus today. Amen. That we've been victorious as a church. That in an ungodly world, we've still managed to come and worship and praise an almighty God. Amen. Just don't give up. Don't give in. Just keep right on like these girls sing. Thank you all very much. Wonderful news. Other good news I've got to tell you. Connor Broom, our professional baseball player, won his first game as a professional pitcher the other day. Praise the Lord. I was excited. He's been struggling a little bit, you know, just went into pros and turned professional. And I was so tickled to hear he won that game. I just got about nearly in shouting business, you know, because it excites me. I told somebody the other day, I said, my boy. And they looked at me strange. It's Glenda's son and Bobby's boy. But he's our boy. That person just didn't know what I meant. But it's still my boy.